City, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. A lot of occult activity is taking place today, 6/6/16, and that, of course, the dedication, the satanic dedication of Lancaster in Los Angeles, the pentagram, the satanic aspect of things, and of course, 6/1/16, we saw the dedication of the Gothard Tunnel. And the all of the occult symbology there. First hour, we had Dave Hodges with us talking about all things related to the transgender agenda. You might not think that those are related to what's going on here today, but as a matter of fact, it is. You've got the sexual rituals taking place, as well as the sexual proclivities of both Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, Bill Clinton, being exposed now by former Secret Service agent Gary J. Byrne. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about,
Byrne is an ex-Secret Service agent, a 29-year veteran of the military and federal law enforcement.
Wrote Crisis of Character, a White House Secret Service officer discloses his firsthand experience with Hillary, Bill, and how they operate. You see, here's the issue. what he saw, he was a uniformed Secret Service agent who stood guard outside the door of the Oval Office. And he describes the often fierce, obscenity-laden tirades by Hillary directed at White House staff, Secret Service agents, and even her husband. And he talks about and writes about documents, the perversions that took place in the Oval Office. Now, Crisis of Character is a great title, because that's exactly what we have, not just in the high offices across America, but crisis of character is what we have all across America, in our churches, in our homes, in our social venues, is a crisis of character. By bloggers, a crisis of character. By Christians, a crisis of character. But in this case, by Gary Byrne, a crisis of character of Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, where he describes one encounter, by the way, where Bill Clinton showed up in the Oval Office with a shiner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with a black eye. You know, how do you explain that?
The Secret Service agents discussed the possibility of having to protect Bill from his wife, Hillary.
Yep. Now, and when you take the aggregate, the totality of evidence related to Hillary Clinton, when you look at Hillary Clinton, the person, and look at Bill Clinton, the scandals run so deep, the criminality runs so deep, the sociopathy runs so deep. The emails are secondary to the Benghazi, subordinate to Benghazi, which is subordinate, well, I don't know if it's subordinate, but it's of equal to the foundation, the money that's being, the money from the Clinton Foundation, which both Bill and Hillary are involved in, the infidelity. You see the perversity by both Bill Clinton and Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. People say, why do you say Diane Rodham? Well, Diane is that's a reference to the goddess, small g, Diane, of which Hillary Rodham, Diane Rodham Clinton, has an affinity toward. And, of course, you must understand that these Luciferian leaders like Hillary, Diane, Rodham Clinton have their gods, goddesses, small g's, to which they seek wisdom and power from. And of course, that's exactly what's taking place here. What you're looking at is in the modern geopolitical parlance, I believe, as we see the elections shaping up, as you've got Donald Trump as a presumptive nominee versus Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, who's a sociopath, a communist, and a perverse occultist who will do away with the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, every amendment, essentially, and turn this country into nothing more than a heaping ash pit from her policies and procedures. And then the other side, and I don't believe he's got a smoking chance in anywhere. You got Sanders, who's a socialist, his policies pale in comparison to Hillary, Diane, Rodham Clinton's. So Clinton is the favorite by the Rothschilds and the powers that be, of course. So, but I would urge everyone to pay attention to what Gary Byrne writes, his information, and you see, and again, please understand when I tell you this, there are people out there who write books about or speak against or speak about Hillary, Diane, Rodham Clinton, who are essentially on her side. They don't tell you that, and in fact, they tell you just the opposite. Just the opposite. No. This is a tell-all about Hillary, Diane, Rodham Clinton, when in fact it's not. Pay very close attention. Remember, keep your friends close and your enemies under surveillance. That's an old saying we had here. But understand that all of this, and when you look at the occult, Joe, when you look at these occult things taking place, these occult rituals, whether it's 6-1 or 6-6, the Bohemian Groves, the Grovers, as they're referred to, these trans-partisan occult Luciferian conspirators.
Like the Bilderberg Group, which is meeting in Dresden.
But the bottom line here is what they're attempting to do in the larger sense is to conjure up, is to use the power of the people to suck the soul, the power from the energy from the people, and use it for their greater devilish satanic means. Please understand, this is what's taking place. They're dirtying up the air. They're dirtying up the. They're attempting. They're harvesting not just people but souls. And this is what this is all about, mm-hmm, in a greater sense.
And this is why Scripture talks about they will make merchandise out of you. We are spiritual merchandise. Spiritual energy and spiritual merchandise, which is harvested by the devil as he is as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We are chattel, as they will say. We are human merchandise, and they have been harvesting on our souls and will continue to as long as those people let them. We have Jesus Christ as our answer, and we can turn to him and be saved from it. at least in the spiritual sense. But we have to be careful and understand they look at us as nothing more than merchandise.
Of course.
And if you can understand that, you can understand better why things are happening the way they are happening. Why are the racial tensions being stoked up? Why is that energy being raised to conflict point? Same thing with the immigration. Why does it seem like, and I know people out there like me feel the same way, that every time you watch the news, the regular mainstream news, it's like they're poking at you. They never bring you the good stories or the things that people do for the betterment of humans and our society and to band together as human beings and take care of each other. They focus on the negative. They focus on what they think will offend you. They focus on what takes your energy away from you, what makes you mad. They play on your emotions. And by being able to elicit emotional responses from you, especially negative ones, those energies are harvested.
Correct. This is a larger game. This is a game, a larger, when I say game, it's maybe that's the improper term. You can, and many talk show hosts look at this as purely a physical battle, when it's a spiritual battle as well. And perhaps mostly a spiritual battle. The collateral effect is, of course, the physical, is in the physical. But what we're looking at right now is a and I'll just, we're going to bring this back to the elections coming up here too. What's taking place with the election, or with the information, or with Hillary Clinton? When you look at Clinton, Hillary Clinton, you look at Obama, you look at all of the criminality surrounding Clinton. The State Department right now is blocking the release of Hillary TPP emails until after the election. Joe had, saw this in the IBT, that's the International Business Times. But notice Obama, and Obama's coming, set to come out to endorse Hillary Clinton as well. What we're seeing here is this, and also, as well, you've got on the right, the conservatives, these pseudo-conservatives, who are some secretly, some not so secretly, saying, okay, we need a Clinton in the president, which is, or Clinton would be better as president than Donald Trump because of, well, she's more qualified and so on, when in fact it is deeper than that. The William Crystals of the world, the George Wills of the world, the Mark Levins of the world, who are just castigating and debasing Trump at every turn in favor of Hillary Clinton. You've got to ask yourself what's going on here. And the DOJ and everyone under the power inside the Beltway tamping down the criminality from the emails to Benghazi. Let me ask everyone a question. When is the last time you heard anything from Trey Gowdy about Benghazi? When's the last time you heard anything from any of the Senate committees about Benghazi or about any of the criminal aspects of Fast and Furious?
The only thing that recently I've seen is the military declares war on Hillary. Former general openly demands jail time. A retired general under the George W. Bush administration as Undersecretary for Defense for Intelligence says Hillary Clinton must be indicted after the names of the CIA protected agents were found on her private email server. This, according to Breitbart News, General Jerry Boykin said lives have been endangered by Clinton's irresponsibility and should be punishable by jail time. One of the few voices telling the truth out there. And but you don't. You don't hear about from the Obama administration's involvement to Fast and Furious to Obama administration and Hillary Clinton State Department involvement in Benghazi. Last week you covered information about how the there were options in Benghazi for soldiers and a response from the U.S. to make an attempt to save Chris Stevens and the other officers there that were protecting him, but they were given a stand down order. Yet we see the media going after Donald Trump because, you know, his payments to the veterans were a few months late, attacking him because of people who start fights and protests where he goes to speak. But, you know, going back to the vet issue, you know, 2 to 3 months of him raising money for the vets and not handing over the money was such a big deal in the media. Well, we're 2 or 3 years, 4 years, 5 years past the Benghazi situation. What about the accountability there? Where's the media demanding answers? Every family member of a lost fallen hero in Benghazi has come out, called Hillary Clinton a liar, a criminal, a psychopath. No accountability. No media questions.
They're not even making this. They're not even covering this up anymore. It's so overt now.
She's responsible, at the very least, for neglect, being able to send help to the Middle East to Benghazi.
They didn't want to. They didn't exactly. They knew exactly what was going on there. And when you look at Benghazi, and I've written 30 some articles on this.
You could put a book together from the articles you've written.
You've got to understand what Benghazi was all about. I'm not gonna go over it again. Every regular listener knows what Benghazi was all about.
Growing tomatoes.
Right.
No, it tied into the arms trafficking.
So as we see the political landscape today, we know that there's really virtually no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. We know that. We know that there's really no conservatives or very few in Congress.
The difference is in speech.
Right.
The conservatives say they want to do things that will help this country, when the other side, the Democrats, openly say they want to do things to destroy the country. The only difference is the government is that the Democrats will act on their want to destroy this nation, where conservatives will sit back and let it happen.
Well, right. And all of this ties in. And you know, you get a little bit fatigued, I suppose, and as we all do, and I know I am, when you look at the landscape today. And this is why we have to fight, and this is why we have to say, you know what, we need to stand up and we need to go out and make a difference, because if it's not us, then we are doing a disservice not only to our fellow man, but we're doing a disservice to our children, our progeny, the people who we are leaving this world to. I don't know, folks, I don't know if I've got 10 minutes left to live or 10 months or 10 years. I don't know. But, and neither does anyone listening to this broadcast. Even if you're terminally ill listening to this broadcast, you really don't know, because I don't think you've got an expiration date stamped on your heel. Maybe you do. If you do, then you better double check that. But I guess what I'm saying is we're past defending, having to defend against accusations of conspiracy nonsense. We're past that. Because if you can't look at what we showed you earlier, that ritual for the opening of the tunnel, if you can't look at the 2012 Olympics, if you can't look at the Super Bowl halftimes, if you can't look at all of these of Bohemian Grove. And if you can't see the sexual perversity intertwined with the Luciferian satanic devil worship, then you're blind. And if you can't pull
along
in
with all the church.
Right. And if you can't pull in Planned Parenthood into this because of the sacrifice, the sacrificing, the murdering and sacrificing of unborn children, if you can't see that, then you're blind. And if you can't see the larger picture behind the agenda of the LGBT movement, then you're blind. Because this will be the vehicle to shut us up, to shut us down, and to criminalize us and to throw us in prison.
And I heard a speech Jonathan Cahn gave a few months ago where he mentioned, he spoke of it like this. He says, we need to be the light. Light does not conform to darkness. Darkness conforms to light. And as the world continues to grow more immoral, it seems like more people are conforming to the world. But as light does not conform to anything, we too must be like light and not conform to anything but the precepts of God, where the churches and the secularists are conforming to the precepts of man and of tradition and of the world. And we need to be the example that Jesus set, who was the light and is the light. And we need to be a part of, we need to be the light ourselves. And as you just mentioned about the LGBT and the infecting of our church, Episcopal priest, LGBTQ people will revitalize Christianity. This is a headline out of Breitbart News. In a recent essay in Salon magazine, the Reverend Elizabeth Edmond argues for the power of queer virtue to combat heteronormality. Heteronormativity, and revitalize a Christianity that is too wedded in tradition, traditional ideas of human sexuality and marriage. This Episcopal priest and political strategist, Edmond, attempts to redeem the concept of pride as central to the LGBT movement and integral to the authenticity of Christian life. Pride. Remember in Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is, where there is a reference to Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, mm-hmm. son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thy pomp has brought thee down to thy grave. And in here, it goes on to talk about pride. It says, although it's, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Thou shalt be brought down to the sides of the pit. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt thyself above the throne of the stars of God. That's the pride.
Right.
Lucifer not only wanted to be like God, he wanted to be above God. And now not only is the LGBT movement infiltrating Christianity, or should I say, not only is Christianity allowing the LGBT movement to infiltrate its organization, it is doing so with a banner of pride. And sadly, in our brainwashed, hypnotized state that most of us are in, people can mistake pride for intelligence, for correctness, when it is the opposite. It is a destructive human sin. And people need to know the difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, people do need to know the difference. And I'm going to just touch on this because I just really quickly kind of to buttress okay. what you said. Okay, I see when we talk about these really dramatic things that are coming up, I see people say, well, you know, we are not to God, we are not to have a spirit of fear. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But hold on a minute. How many people out there have ever been on the wrong side of a gun? Have you been afraid? Oh, shame if you have. If you're a Christian and you're on the wrong side of the gun, and you, if you don't have a spirit, if you've got a spirit of fear, then you must not really be a Bible-believing Christian.
Well, let's make a quick differentiation.
There we go.
You have a...
No, we're talking. Go ahead.
When you're in a situation that brings upon the fight or flight response, you have human nature, which brings on reactions that are part of your makeup. Having an instant of fear, recognizing the situation you're in, I would say is a part of human nature. Well, but to act or live in that fear or just make decisions based on that is a problem.
Well, you're not to live in timidity.
Right.
Okay, for example. So the simple-mindedness of many Christians I see say, well, you know, I'm not going to live in a spirit of fear. I don't care. I mean, you know, if they come in, break my door, and then take me to a FEMA camp, I'm not going to live in a spirit of fear. I understand that. I get that. But let me ask you a question. Do you think Dietrich Bonhoeffer was ever afraid? No, we are not to submit or subjugate ourselves to that spirit of fear and timidity. However, that doesn't mean, I mean, to fear not, let's say in a situation where you're in the opposite end of a gun and they have no fear at all, then to me, you've got some serious mental issues. It doesn't mean you live in that realm or that venue. And I want to be clear on that, because...
Like God said, fear not those who can take your life, but fear the one that can take your soul.
I understand that. But for me to hear someone say, well, I'm not going to live in fear. Of course, you're not going to live in fear. You're not going to live in that spirit of timidity. You're not going to do that. You're not going to surrender to that. However, In the human realm, if, for example, if you're in a situation where someone's pointing a gun at you and you don't know whether that person's going to shoot you or not, at that moment, if you say, well, I'm not afraid, then I got to ask, are you all there?
Well, it depends.
What do you mean?
Maybe the person who has the gun being pointed at him has faith strong enough to trust in the Lord, whether they're shot or not.
Okay, not my point. You know what my point is.
No, I guess I'm not understanding, because...
I understand
what you're saying about fear, but regardless of the situation you're in the end, what are you afraid of? I mean, if the end of the game is dying, are you afraid of dying, or are you afraid of what happens after death? I guess would be the question. But in that moment, would you really be thinking about that?
Well, no. I mean, you're in the physical. You're thinking about the physical. Yeah, you've got to. I think it's only healthy to have if your job is to clean out the reptile or the snake tank that's full of poisonous snakes, are you going to have a healthy fear of those reptiles?
A respect, yes.
All right.
Like nature.
Okay. I don't know how to make this.
No, I know what you're saying. No.
Because it's the same with people who say, well, I'm going to vote for Jesus. All right, show me where he's on the ballot. Okay, so... We are living in a physical realm. We are living in the physical right now. It's a corrupt Babylonic system of Luciferian control. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, satanic. Got it. But we are to be soldiers. That doesn't mean that you take our tents and go home and, you know, retreat. And let someone else fight.
That's correct.
All right. So, and Bob and Maggie, thank you. You know, there's a difference between, you know, experiencing fear and living in fear, and that's correct. What I was getting at was you don't live your life in fear of what could be. You live knowing what will be based on the Word.
Absolutely.
All right. Now,
because living in fear is an insult to God.
Right. And you know, again, I understand the concept of voting for Jesus. I understand that. Okay, I just switched on this. I vote for Jesus every day. I get that. What I'm saying is, you know, I'm talking about in the real world on the ballot, on the flipping ballot.
But see, I think that's where we're having a disconnect. I think people are so sick and tired. They see through the political system. They understand the mechanisms behind it. They know there is no option to their benefit or anybody's benefit. So they say that.
All right. So you know what? I'm not gonna. I'm frustrated because
I mean, if the majority of Americans,
you know what? I can't.
And the Electoral College.
We can't. We can't make a difference at the Planned Parenthood. So you know what? I'm not gonna go. And you know what? I don't know.
You're missing the point.
What?
No, I'm saying with the political thing, with the voting thing, even if the majority of American voters and the Electoral College wrote in and voted for Jesus, what then?
Yeah, right. Okay, we live our lives like that,
people
are just gonna do what they want to do.
They're ready to get out of this evil,
of course,
corrupt world.
Man, I, too.
When I hear you mention that somebody saying that they're going to vote for Jesus, I think that they're just ready for this to be over.
Well, me too. All right, you know, I'm absolutely. However, okay, we are appointed here. We have to play our positions, and we have to. It's just like this. And I get emails saying, "Well, I don't know why you do what you do because you're not making any difference." Oh, yes, we are, because we are. And I get emails, and Steve gets emails, and Pastor Langford gets emails. You are making a difference, Doug, Joe, Steve, Pastor Langford, others, Paul McGuire, bringing winning souls, informing people, and there's nothing wrong with providing information. In fact, it's good to know the enemy's playbook, to understand the evil that's beset against you, to avoid some of the traps and tripfalls before you. And those who don't want to know, and I've seen people like this. I just don't understand it. I've seen people. I don't want to know what's wrong with me. I don't want to know what's wrong with me. Well, then how are you going to fix it if you don't know what's wrong with you? It's the same idea. All right? I got a stomachache. I've had a stomachache for the last month, and I'm bleeding internally, and I've got pains here and there. Well, go to a doctor, you know. Go to a doctor, and there are diagnostic tests you can have done to find out what's wrong with you. I don't want to know what's wrong with me. Well, it's not rational. Because you're here in the physical. You've got to deal with the physical. And if you don't, I do suspect you're going to be held accountable for that. I really do. So, as much as we want to reside in the spiritual and live in the spiritual, we have to address the physical. And so that's all I'm saying. When we look at what's coming down the pike, and you know what, one of the biggest things, I think, you talk about the spirit of fear. People don't want to know because they're afraid. The very people, in my view, who say, I don't live in a spirit of fear, and I don't need to know this, are the very people, in my view, who are afraid, who are subjugated and bound by that spirit of fear that's discussed. Because, right? That's what I believe. I certainly believe that. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Well, why not? If it helps you understand, and if you can then take that knowledge and go out and help and explain it to someone else, if you can say, hey, you know that 616 or the 6616 ceremony in Los Angeles. This is a satanic ritual, and this is how it relates to everything. And it really, and you know that 6116. Oh, you didn't hear about that? That bridge or the tunnel dedication? Well, let me show you this. In fact, I showed somebody today, somebody who never saw. I mean, who I met. I've known for a while, but we've never discussed anything like this. I showed that video of the 6116 ritual of the dedication today. And, hey, to my credit, they said, okay, I'm ready to listen now. Of course, they didn't say exactly that, but that's the result. What else you got? That person never before, it took that particular showing of that ceremony for this person to say, okay, well, now what? What's this mean? That's disturbing. I mean, that's really disturbing. So what do you got now? I mean, what should I be paying attention to? Is that helping somebody? I think it is. Is that helping someone? Is that going to bring that person closer to God and perhaps salvation? Perhaps it will. But if you don't do that, I mean, that's just one way. Thoughts? This is radio, so if you, I mean, yeah. People can't.
No, it's definitely something to think about. We do have paralysis of analysis. We have a bombardment of overt, increasing occultic and satanic movements that are becoming more blatant and open in our public society. We have politicians, policymakers, and elected officials wholly turned over to evil, open about it, and working toward that end, their agenda, the evil agenda. Of wiping out Christianity.
You know, hang on a second here. I just want to address...
And we have the Paris, France issue, which we can get into after...
I just want to address this real quick, because, I just left the chat room open here, and this Richard somebody or other, occupy until he returns, of course, but rah-rah this and fight that and resist the other in terms of winning in this world is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
It feels that way.
You know something? Wait a second. I have done... Then I apologize to my audience because I apparently am the worst communicator in the world.
Okay.
No. Now hold on a minute here. If that's what you believe, then I must be the worst communicator in the world. Because yes, occupy. What does occupy mean? It means to go out there and to do your job as a Christian. Right? Now, if doing our job as a Christian is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, then what the hell is your definition?
Good point.
What is your definition? What are you going to do? And this angers me because we pour we pour 18 hours a day into what we do. 18 hours a day. 7 days a week. We're on the phone constantly. We're talking with people constantly. We're spreading the word constantly. We put our heart and soul into this show. We put our money into this show. We try to spread the word far and wide. We try to win souls over to Christ. We do what we can do. We educate, we inform, we inspire, sometimes we entertain. And if you compare that to rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, now what in the hell would you do, Richard? Why are you even here?
I think you took that out of context because there were some comments before that pertaining to the insanity of the two-party system. But, I mean, you're right in a lot of respects. Each and every person needs to, as I said earlier, they need to be that example that Christ left us. And the scripture always says, also says...
Don't tell me I don't understand Occupy. Don't tell me I don't understand Occupy. Don't tell me. You know something? This is the problem with Christianity. And I'm not going to have an argument with somebody I can't see. This is the problem to me with Christianity today. Is Christians want it both ways. All right? Christians want to, you know, want to be just merely spiritual beings, but exist in the physical realm. You cannot merely be spiritual without being physical as well, or occupy, or existing in the physical. I'm not going to argue.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm guilty of being in both ways.
I'm done with this. I'm not going to do it anymore.
I'm just as guilty of being in the physical world, trying to be, you know, more spiritual, but caught up in the physical aspects of our world more often than not, much more often than I'd like to. I think it's something each and every one of us goes through, especially those who are striving for a better spiritual relationship.
Right. Let's finish up with the news here, the issues that we've got to talk about, because you know what? It's
important news and events out of the Hagman studio. Yeah. Doug Hagman's blood pressure is rising.
Well, you know what? It's
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, you know what? Seriously,
yeah. Let me tell you. Let me say a funny little story here.
Be careful now.
Yesterday late afternoon, early evening, I was making some calls, talking to potential guests, and I came across Paul Bagley's number, and I know I need to give him a call. We're scheduled to go to Indianapolis on July 28th to be filmed on his TV show. And I wanted him to come on our show and schedule a date to do that, to talk about what we're going to be doing in Indianapolis, what we're going to be talking about, where it can be seen, and how people can get that. Well, I didn't know he was in Israel. So when he answers the phone, I hear he sounded real sick.
He was like,
yeah.
He's like, hello.
Hello. I'm like, Pastor, you all right? This is Joe. Oh, Joe, I'm fine. I'm just in Israel and I was sleeping. I said, Pastor, I'm
3:00 in the morning.
Well, see, what happened was he was taking a nap. He has a show on Sundays from 7 to 10 Eastern time. And he was taking a nap in preparation for that show. And me, I watched his church service, part of his church service earlier in the day, and I saw he wasn't there because I was going to call him. And I checked his website to make sure he wasn't in his church service.
Right. But you didn't figure
and
he
wasn't
in,
there.
In Israel. Right.
Right. Right. So long story short, I woke Pastor Beckley up, and probably the little sleep he got that night in Israel. He's coming back on the 15th, by the way. So keep him in your prayers. But I just thought that was funny because I don't know. Like I said, his dad was doing the church service. I didn't watch or listen to much of it because it was more of the music part and worship when I turned it on. There wasn't preaching going on, so I muted it. And I didn't see the pastor there, and I thought he was out of town or doing something else. So I figured it'd be all right to call him, you know, Sunday, you know, around dinner time, maybe a little bit later, before his 7 o'clock show.
Well,
and sure enough,
yeah.
It was like 11 o'clock in Israel. And he was sleeping, getting ready for his, getting some rest before his 7 to 10 show on Sunday. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So we'll make it up to Pastor.
Yeah. And this last story, I want to, save this for last because this is very important. How many of you guys know out there that France and the European Union held a, meeting where the heads of state gathered to create a two-state solution in Paris, the capital of France.
John Heller, by the way, we'll get John Heller on. He has a good video on this, but go ahead.
And this is from defendproclaimthefaith.org, John McTiernan's site. And he has a verse of the day, Obadiah 1:15, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done to Israel, it shall be done to thee. Thy reward it shall return upon thy own head." It says, notice how Paris, the capital of France, was being destroyed as the nations of the world gathered in Paris to try and divide Jerusalem in the land of Israel. How many of you guys heard about the floods in Paris? Paris was being really destroyed at the very same time they were trying to divide Jerusalem. Now, this is only the 100 millionth time this has happened. Every single time leaders of the world seriously try to get together to divide Israel, something happens.
Absolutely.
An eye for an eye. Kroger's book,
you know,
is a good example of this.
Yeah.
Hurricane Katrina, the Gush Katif.
You cannot separate. Okay, and as hard as people try, I don't believe you can separate modern day Israel from the Jews of the Bible.
You can't separate modern day Israel from Jesus. Right. This is the nation of Israel that wasn't and that was.
Right. The prophetic aspect of things because...
Right. And I've questioned this because the first two times Israel were established as a nation, God proclaimed it not only to his people but that were chosen to make it happen, but to the prophets. For them to declare to the people, to show unto the kings, proclamations were given and made. This time around, you have the controversy of Hitler, World War II, the Holocaust, and that birthed Israel. And if you read congressional transcripts and historical books, you will find that it was almost a forced thing with the nations of the world to get this done.
Right.
But that doesn't mean God did not have a hand in it. Nor does it mean it does not serve God's purpose and is not the Israel that will and is in the end times.
And I really believe when we, and Steve and Pastor Langford and Paul McGuire and others talk about this, when we see the battle, there's a battle that are going to be shaping up for Israel. I think that God is going to intervene as opposed to any other country, right? I mean, that's what I believe.
We know that there is in the tribulation, in the very end times, that there is a deal of peace and safety that is brokered.
And a covenant, which is going to be confirmed, not made, which I think is important.
Yeah, confirmed, strengthened.
Right.
And in the midst of the tribulation, the covenant will be broken.
Yes.
And that's what prophecy says. That's what the Bible says. Well, here in France holds Israeli-Palestinian peace summit without Israel or Palestine involvement.
Yes.
Which is nonsensical in its own right.
McTiernan
points it out. He says, what utter nonsense it is to state that all the trouble in the Middle East is caused by the Palestinians not having a state. This from someone living in delusion. The problem in the Middle East is caused by Islam, and Israel has nothing to do with it. Despite its own lingering problem of domestic Islamic extremism, France has turned its sights to attempting to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Holding a peace summit on Friday without the participation of either Israeli or Palestinian authority, French President Hollandale kicked off the conference by strongly implying that the failure to create this two-state solution is the heart of the problem throughout the Middle East.
And this is how it started in the beginning with the Balfour Declaration and the creation of Israel. It's a political creation, not God's creation. Well, I understand that, but the Jews are part of this.
Violence is growing and hope is fading. That is why we try to revive this peace process. We must work to realize that in the regional context of this diplomatic vacuum, we will be filled by extremism and terror. It has nothing to do with the millions of extreme Islamists you've let into your nation.
And just to be clear, too, watch this. We're starting Ramadan. There are credible threats here in this country.
It's starting?
Yes. 4th, 5th, it depends on location. But there are some credible threats in America right now. And watch
as well as Europe.
Especially
the whole of Europe.
Yes. But please, 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 please. Now, remember, Islam has been weaponized, but that does not. Islam is still a threat here. The Islamic element is still a threat, and the DHS has been shipping people quietly, but under the orders of Obama and the DHS, as well as ICE and other from the border into the cities.
They have been sneaking illegals through UPS flights. I mean, this is a very well coordinated effort that could not be done without the help of authorities and governmental employees in positions to tell those authorities what their orders are. Back to France. The divine message was a divine message sent to France in Paris while these talks were going on. You answer this. Natural disaster declared. Lourvay artwork evacuated as River Seine hits 1982 record the same day as the French initiative talks. Yep. In an ironic twist of fate, the same Friday that the International Conference of the French Initiative to Force Peace Talks on Israel was launched in Paris, floodwaters in the capital city reached peak levels in what has been declared a natural disaster. The river in Paris is set to reach 6 meters or 19 feet above its normal levels Friday, causing all sorts of horrible problems, flooding all over to the point where museums are rushing to get their paintings out, not just one, many, to higher ground. And it goes on to say, forget unrelenting terrorism, the Hamas Fatah split, and constant Palestinian refusal to recognize Israel as a national home of the Jews, according to a French pre-summit paper published on Thursday. Settlement activity is the main threat to a two-state solution. The brief document put out by French Foreign Ministry to explain the French initiative into the one-day Mideast summit to be held in Paris on Friday said the two-state solution was under increased threat, particularly with regard to continued settlement activities.
Caroline Glick, by the way, has a lot to say about this, has written a lot about this. Go ahead.
And as you went on to mention earlier about the Oslo Accords, it goes on to say that in this paper, it was what disrupted the peace process more than any other factor since 1993 Oslo Accords has been the breakdown of security due to the Palestinian adaptation of violence against Israel. But if you listen to mainstream news, it's, you know, they're the victims always. Anyways, citing the suicide bombings and rockets from Gaza, the current wave of knife attacks, Gold said that to ignore this recent history and focus on Israeli settlements is completely opposite of what is going on in the Middle East. The document did not include a word regarding any Palestinian culpability for the current diplomatic situation.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, all the violence in the Middle East is Israel's fault, according to these people who are sitting down trying to broker this two-state solution. They say the two-state solution will be the answer to the Arab Spring and all the violence that has continued to break out across the Middle East.
Folks, Persia, Iran, very critical component to what we're talking about here. Despite the lack of reference here, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The two-state solution is a lie.
Yes, it is.
Just to understand that. Also, we have what we're seeing right now with Israel, with the Middle East, is the rearranging of power to usher in this Antichrist system, and we're seeing the end of days, or end of the days, at least the old guard, if you will, but the rearranging of power now into this confederation of states and nations and against Israel, which will set the stage for the coming of the Antichrist system. And I think that all of this is playing together. You're right with the France, for example, meeting and cutting out the voting and against
right.
Israel and suffering the consequences.
And other
secular humanists will never admit that.
Right. France and other nations trying to broker a two-state solution between Palestine and Israel without either Israeli or Palestinian diplomats involved. Mm-hmm. They have no say in the matter. And this is how this is going to play out. They will have no say in the matter when the agreement is reached, when the covenant is confirmed. And as it ends in McTiernan's article, it cites Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judea and against Jerusalem.
Ask yourself this. What's going to replace the Arab system, the Middle East countries? What's going to replace the Middle Eastern countries?
Not democracy.
All right, folks, we're going to be back tomorrow with Dr. Michael Lake. Friday, Ted Brewer.
We'll have open phone line Wednesday.
New callers only, because we've been, I'll tell you, so many people unable to get on. So new callers Wednesday only. Friday, Ted Brewer. More tomorrow, Dr. Michael Lake, and we'll talk later. How's
have
that?
A good night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.